For anyone contemplating surgery and having the luxury of being able to choose your surgeon and hospital, it's a quagmire to get any sense of who and where are best. And by best, you can mean anything from coming out alive with no injuries through to the operation actually being done well and delivering the promised benefits. Not an unreasonable expectation. One of the things people say to look for is volume, the number of operations in question a surgeon and the hospital does each year. Seems to make sense that if you want your knee replaced, for example, to go to a surgeon who does knees all the time at a hospital which is used to the procedure. But is that confidence well placed? That's what a group of researchers at the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons sought to answer. Professor Guy Maddern is Surgical Director of the College's Safety and Quality Register of New Interventional Procedures in Surgery.
What we found was that when you actually get down to it, there's not a large number of studies, and we really only found 13 that we could usefully use. And we've really not been able to conclusively say that high volume is better than low volume centres as a general rule, although some of the studies did tend to indicate that may be the case. That's where the area of concern has to be. I think what also needs to be understood is these results relate to length of stay in hospital, morbidity and mortality, and do not reflect the functional results that occurred with these operations.
But isn't the reality in Australia that the market's gone ahead of you here? I mean, are there that many orthopaedic surgeons doing knee replacements who don't see themselves as knee surgeons?
Within orthopaedics at the moment, there are 9 specialty groups who sort of are either shoulder surgeons, knee surgeons, spine surgeons and hip surgeons. And as a result of that, they have started to focus down onto areas where they feel they have an interest and expertise. The concern we had, and this report does not resolve it, is there a critical number of cases that should be performed in order to ensure the optimal outcome?
So as a consumer, you're still at a bit of a loss to know. So for example, if you're living in a country town, albeit a large country town, and the general orthopaedic surgeon does knees, you've no real way of knowing whether or not it's okay to go to that general surgeon.
To that orthopaedic surgeon?
General orthopaedic surgeon.
We certainly cannot, on this data, say that there is any evidence that you would be putting yourself at a greater risk of either a prolonged length of stay, mortality or morbidity. However, I think the other question you have to ask with all of this is, how do you ensure that if you are a low-volume practitioner or centre,
Whatever that might mean,
how can you actually try and achieve the results of the very best centres? This is probably tied up with good clinical practice guidelines, careful clinical governance and peer review, and ongoing upskilling and training. And it's probable that these are the more important factors, and these may be the things that are missing in some of the lower volume centres.
Are they there with orthopaedic surgeons in general, one asks? I mean, my understanding of knee arthroplasty in this country is that a survey done, a state-of-the-art knee joint replacement, which requires computerised alignment, that's not done as often as it should be.
No,
even an experienced knee surgeon. So you wonder what sort of service people are actually getting.
The issue with the computer alignment is that even now, in a number of randomised studies, it has not yet been conclusively demonstrated that it necessarily produces superior outcomes. So it is still not a guarantee that you will get a better result.
Most knee replacements in Australia are done in the private sector and private hospitals, and you assume that knee surgeons are heading to hospitals where they have got a team around them that know what they're doing. But increasingly in the public sector, people are saying we should focus on specialised hospitals. So, for example, attached to the Royal Perth in Western Australia, there's a, if you like, an orthopaedic-only hospital. And people are saying this is where these should be done in the public sector. But you would say here there's still no argument that's strong for that.
On the data we had available, we could not make a strong case for that. And I do think we're going to have to, in this country, focus on how we can achieve excellent results, even in centres with low volume and a low opportunity for the surgeons. And this has certainly occurred, and Perth's perhaps another good example. Its liver transplant results here are excellent, yet it's a fairly low volume centre. And one wants to look at how it's achieved those sorts of results and emulate those around the country.
And coming to other volume issues, people talk about how pancreatic surgery, say for pancreatic cancer, should only be done in specialised centres because people get underoperated on notoriously for pancreatic cancer. What is your volume research showing in other areas?
Well, we have a series of publications that are coming out over the rest of this year looking at esophageal surgery.
Particularly controversial given the Patel story in Bundaberg.
Well, particularly and illustrating these sorts of issues. And we are looking at aortic aneurysm surgery. This is elective aortic aneurysm surgery to try and get a handle on what is the data. Now, pancreas surgery that you've mentioned is one where probably there's less argument because it does need a complex hospital to support the patient, particularly when problems develop, as they will develop in an appreciable percentage. And because it's a relatively infrequent operation, we really do need to think about ways of bringing those cases to one or two centres in each city.
Should we be collecting data better in the public and private sectors so that we actually in Australia start to get some of these answers, or will the conflict of interest that may occur because surgeons don't necessarily want to know the answer to this mitigate against that sort of data collection?
It is always a challenge. However, I think there are a few things on the horizon that are going to help us. If we move to a unique patient identifier for Australia, which appears to be the plan, I think that will help enormously because even if you wanted to now, it's extremely difficult to collect the data. Secondly, I think that we are, you know, constantly under pressure to establish better use of resources, and I think we're going to have to demonstrate that the results that we achieve are not only cost effective but also have important outcomes such as morbidity and mortality, which are a direct cost to the community and tremendously disadvantageous for patients.
In your mind, given the current state of knowledge, whether it's a hip replacement, a knee replacement or your heart surgery, what are the questions you need to ask as a consumer?
Well, I think with all of these things, you do need to reassure yourself that the surgeon is familiar with this operation and is performing it on a regular basis. Now, of course, the trouble is I can't tell you how regular because we haven't been able to define that. But certainly it's not something you'd want to be doing one or two a year on. I think that's probably not the ideal situation in Australia where we do have choice. I think you need to be sure that the hospital is in a position to manage the expected complications that can go with some of this surgery. So if you're performing esophageal surgery, you would really want access to a comprehensive intensive care that can manage you, and to be attempting that in an environment where that couldn't be provided, then clearly that would be inappropriate. And I think we're going to have to just wait till we get better data to clarify some of these questions that you've been asking.
Guy Maddern, who's Professor of Surgery at the University of Adelaide.